Hello, everyone. We are back, as promised, with part two of our hot take on Ozempic. If you haven't listened to our part one episode, Ozempic, be sure to catch that one. But to recap, part one, psychiatrist Dr. Somtu Obi joined us, and together we kind of drilled down on how these GLP-1 agonists work on the body and the potential mental health impact they can have as well. And that was a really great discussion on the episode, so please check it out if you haven't. Now, I feel like enough time has passed. We have seen these drugs work their magic on people's waistlines. And now I'm seeing my own friends trying to figure out how to adapt to their new, rapidly changed bodies. I mean, what options do you have when you lose a significant amount of weight in a short period of time?
Yeah.
So to help us answer these questions, we have a very special guest, plastic surgeon, Dr. Amaka Wuba. She is going to help us walk through the surgical and non-surgical options after losing a lot of weight on these medications. This is the IV Drip, a podcast designed to give you the dish on health topics you need to know but didn't know to ask. We are your hosts, Dr. Maliha Mohideen
and Dr. Diani Becky. We're both Harvard-trained anesthesiologists and besties. Join us as we explore hot topics that are rarely discussed but can have a huge impact on your life. So listen, Dr. Amaka Wuba is one busy lady. She is married, a mommy of two kids, owner of her own practice, Amaka Aesthetics, based in Nashville, Tennessee, and she has her own skincare line, Amaka Aesthetics Skin Science. She's been in practice for 5 years and focuses on mommy makeovers and restorations. Matter of fact, I still need to get my hands on some of your products, to be honest. We'll have to post the link to your products for our listeners, too, so that they can get glowing skin like yours and your patients. Dr. Wuba, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. Welcome.
Yes, welcome. And I might add, I want some skin products, too. I love skincare. Okay, but seriously, let's jump into it. With the huge popularity of these medications, Dr. Amaka, have you noticed more patients coming through your practice seeking body contouring surgeries?
You ladies are funny. So first of all, thank you for inviting me on your show. I appreciate the really warm introduction. I'm happy to be here. I've really been excited to share my thoughts on this topic since it was first presented. As you might know, I treat a lot of weight loss patients in general before Ozempic, and now it's just an uptick. It's really very important, and hopefully we can give some listeners some important information and tips on these solutions. Now for your question, absolutely. I have seen an uptick in consultations for surgeries like tummy tucks, liposuction, breast lifts, facial surgeries. And like you said, these medications have completely changed the weight loss game. And consequently, the kinds of weight loss procedures are also increasing for all of us plastic surgeons.
That's really interesting. But I can't say it's surprising, right? I mean, these meds exploded on the weight loss scene. And so many of these patients, of my patients, are on these medications. And they've been game changers in a very positive way for many people. But, you know, as we know, there are some people who aren't obese as well who are taking them. You know, what I call the vanity weight, losing some of that stubborn last 10, 20 pounds, which, you know, to me is a little bit concerning for other reasons. But are you seeing that trend in your clinic? Are people coming in after even just a modest weight loss as opposed to that significant drop?
Absolutely. You know, we're seeing a variety of patients, including people who weren't really initially obese, but now after taking these medications are noticing some mild, unexpected body changes. I also have patients who have had surgery by me who started these medications and have had some weight loss and changes from that as well. Body changes such as loose skin or altered body contours, which sometimes can cause some body dysmorphia, definitely can have an effect on these patients' self-esteem.
I can totally see that. There seems to be a lot of pressure to look a certain way at baseline. So unexpected body changes can be upsetting. Can you tell us more about the unexpected changes that are associated with taking GLP-1 medications?
Absolutely. I would say that patients on these medications, they typically experience reduced fat in the stomach, most commonly thighs, arms. They can have loose skin on their face, referred to as the Ozempic face. There's also Ozempic breast, which basically is deflation of the breast tissue. So depending on the amount of weight loss, you can have diffuse overall loss of fat and loss of tone in general. Some people experience muscle loss, and that can impact their overall appearance as well.
Mm. So basically, there can be a lot of fat loss in areas where we think it's actually nice to have a lot of fat. And, you know, obviously, when you lose weight, you can't really control where you're losing the fat. So Ozempic breast is definitely a new term for me. I don't think I've heard that one. It sounds like some pretty significant changes. Right. But let's talk about this loose skin. I'm sure your patients are coming in with some saggy excess skin that they want to tighten or get rid of. What kind of options would you offer them to address the loose skin issue?
Absolutely. So it really would depend on the area of the body where they have the lost fat. So I would discuss body contouring, breast contouring procedures. For example, tummy tucks are going to remove excess skin from the abdomen for a smoother, firmer toner-looking belly. Arm lifts remove excess skin from the arms. You have thigh lifts to remove excess skin from the thighs. Facelifts to help tighten the face as well after some facial fat loss. And so these surgeries are really similar to those we offer traditional weight loss patients. We're just seeing such an uptick in the amount of patients we're seeing because of the introduction of Ozempic and similar medications on the market.
Well, that makes sense. What if you're not interested in surgery, though? Are there non-surgical ways to deal with saggy skin or stubborn fat?
Definitely. So we have more options to deal with stubborn fatty deposits. So there's cool sculpting, which you all, which many people are aware of, which basically freezes fat cells. I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of cool sculpting in general. Its effectivity is a little bit diminished.
I've heard that.
Also, there's options such as laser skin removal. There's Morpheus, which is a really popular tightening device that I'm sure we've all seen in the media with celebrities and things like that.
Yeah.
It is, it's a pretty decent device. One thing I always counsel patients on, especially if they really want liposuction, they don't want the skin removal, is you have to be okay knowing that you will have an improvement in your result, but you may still have some loose skin. And if you're okay with that, certainly we can have that as an option. Same thing with Morpheus. The results are not going to be as powerful as it will be if you have surgery and surgically remove skin, but you'll have an in-between result, sort of like a treatment that can hopefully help you get to a point where you're okay with surgery, or maybe you'll be okay with that. So it all comes down to the patient's preference and their overall desires.
Yeah. And I heard that the downtime is a lot shorter than surgery too, which I think may be appealing. Would you say that's what some people may choose it for, the non-surgical option?
Definitely. I do feel like people search for non-surgical options or minimally invasive because the downtime is going to be a lot less. You can have the surgery on Friday and start back to work on Monday. Whereas if you have a body contouring procedure, you're looking at several weeks of downtime.
Well, that works for me. That works for me as a working mom. And but I think I first have to kind of address the weight loss aspect, but we won't really get into that right now. That might take a little bit. That might take a little while.
This episode's turning into a personal consult. Dr.
You know, I'm getting skincare products, non-invasive, you know, might as well.
Oh my God, you're too much, Dion. Okay, let's go. Going back, Dr. Omaka, you actually touched on something that I've heard about too, muscle loss, and how that can be also a major change that patients experience that they might not have expected to once they're on these medications. We definitely have heard about the importance of maintaining an exercise regimen and proper nutrition while on these medications. Mm-hmm. It's not just like a magic pill, or mm-hmm. I should say shot. Do any of your patients struggle with the muscle loss and request ways to have more muscle definition?
Absolutely. Well, Maliha, cosmetic or plastic surgery, I always describe, is not going to be your first line solution for this. Like you said, it's so important to start with nutrition and exercise interventions, especially while you're on these medications. This is where really a physical trainer or a physical therapist would come into play and be useful. So I would have patients start there. I wouldn't have them start with surgery as their method to regain muscle loss. However, for aesthetic concerns with some body contouring surgeries, we can improve the appearance of the tone and the shape of the underlying tissue. For example, fat transfer procedures. Now, what this basically means is we do liposuction, surgical removal of fat from an area where a patient has excess fat. And we basically transfer this fat to an area where they are lacking fat. For example, you could do liposuction from the abdomen, transfer it to the buttocks and the hips or the calves, wherever they desire. And that's how that procedure works. There are also some niche procedures like pectoral implants, calf implants, butt implants as well. And that is to help, right? And that is to help people regain volume in those areas. One thing I always counsel on with the fat transfer is you want to be at a place where your weight is stable, because if you have fat transfer, you continue Ozempic, you will lose that fat that we've transferred. And then, you know, we have fillers for facial volume loss as well that can help restore volume to the face.
Oh, that's a great point about the fat transfer. You might not be happy if you keep on dropping.
Exactly. And I've had a patient who I did a fat transfer to her buttocks. She started Ozempic and she lost all of her fat transfer. So that is something that can really happen.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
Wasted money there.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of the face, you mentioned Ozempic face, a popular term, and Ozempic breast earlier. What options are available for these two conditions?
So for Ozempic face, there are several options. It depends on how dramatic our changes are and the results. We have facelift options and neck lift, which basically means it's similar to a tummy tuck. We're removing excess skin from the face and the neck to tighten and tone that skin. You may combine that with some fat transfer in order to help with the loss in facial volume. Something else we have in addition to that, let's say someone doesn't quite want a facelift and they consider that a little too drastic, you could do Morpheus to the face with some stem cells to help replenish and tighten that skin. So it's sort of an in-between treatment. So we have several options out there for these patients as well for the face. For the breast, you know, we're looking more so at breast lifts, for example, that are going to help tighten that skin. Again, if there's volume loss, you may consider an implant or fat grafting in the breast. Mm-hmm. For the Ozempic breast.
Mm-hmm. That is very interesting because, you know, it's all about the ratios and proportions, right? Like finding the balance.
Exactly.
Yeah, the whole, like taking the whole view and not just focusing on one body part. And so, you know, in your case, you're definitely helping patients create that right balance to get the overall result that they want. Now, we know these drugs are lifestyle drugs in that people will be on them long term if they actually want to maintain their weight loss for the most part. You know, what does that mean in terms of when is the right time to have surgery? I mean, you just talked about the fat transfer issue, which dovetails right into this question.
Good point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, that's a really good point. So it's crucial. And the same thing with weight loss patients who have, let's say, gastric bypass surgeries. You really want to wait until you're in a stable point in the maintenance phase of the Ozempic. In other words, I tell patients, if you're going to lose more than 10 to 30 pounds, I would wait to have surgery. It would be horrible to go through a major surgery and then stop taking the medications early and the weight come back on. And suddenly all the surgery you invested in, the time, the money, you lose all that. So planning and timing are really key, along with just ensuring proper nutritional status for healing. For the surgery, I have patients pause taking their medications, the Ozempic and the GLP-1 agonist, for safety reasons while under anesthesia, and that's for 2 to 4 weeks. But they usually can resume them after surgery.
Well, thank you for that, not to us, doc. But you're absolutely right. Our governing bodies that put out guidelines and recommendations, the Anesthesia Patient Safety Foundation and the American Society of Anesthesiologists, just released new recommendations pertaining to the GLP-1 agonist medications this summer, because of this boom in uptake and people using these medications. And the reason why we are the focus now and people have to pause for 2 to 4 weeks, it's because these medications hold an aspiration risk. Mm-hmm. Because one of the ways these class of medications work is by slowing down the gut, meaning that there's undigested food sitting in your stomach for longer periods of time. For our listeners, aspirations when food and stomach content come up the esophagus, the eating tube, and enter the lungs when a patient is under anesthesia. Your surgery is of no use if you have a major aspiration event leading to severe pneumonia or worse. So make sure to follow these instructions no matter the procedure you're getting done, from a cataract to a whole body to a whole mommy makeover. Okay, I'm done with my anesthesia PSA, but I appreciated that. Now, you know, we're the redheaded stepchildren, so I appreciated that.
No problem, Dion. And yes, follow those instructions. I would also add that a pre-surgical comprehensive evaluation is vital, along with close monitoring of patient nutrition, looking for things like iron deficiency, protein, and things like that. and really thinking about things that are important to the effectiveness of surgery and healing. We coordinate really closely with the patient's doctors just to be sure we're monitoring the medication and when we're stopping and starting it. And sometimes they may require a break before the surgery. And you have to think about patients who are also on it for diabetes and things like that as well, which is another consideration.
Absolutely. And I would like to second what both of you said. Follow those instructions and get a proper preoperative evaluation. Now, before we close, not everyone lives where you practice, Dr. Amaka. What, and I think this is a big question, mm-hmm. What advice can you give to someone to help them find a good plastic surgeon where they live? Because, I mean, I feel like they're on billboard. They're everywhere. You don't know, you know, social media. It's like, what's your advice? What would you tell somebody?
Absolutely. And this is one thing I talk about a lot is research really thoroughly and choose a trusted plastic surgeon. Yeah. Connect with the plastic surgeon, not with the price first.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. Yes.
Ask friends. So the number one place you can get is ask a friend about their results. Many people will show you their results and the scars and everything. Don't be afraid to get a second consultation. Trust your gut instinct. If it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And also look for board certification in plastic surgery. I should always specify. Review the experience. Look at before and after photos. Make sure they're people who sort of resemble you in general. Do they do weight loss patients and things like that? And then have realistic expectations. There's so many things. There's too much out there on social media. And follow your heart, but have realistic expectations and know that skin changes so much with weight loss. And there's certain things we can do, but there's also certain things we can't do and accomplish.
That is so real. Realistic expectations are key. We've all watched that show Botched. We don't want any of our listeners to end up on that show. So we appreciate that advice, Dr. Amaka. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today and helping us to uncover another aspect of taking these popular GLP-1 medications that many people don't think about or consider. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot. I know I did. And, you know, have some products and interventions I'm going to do, but that's a whole nother topic. But to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope this episode was enriching and provided some food for thought for your healthy journey. This concludes our GLP-1 series, guys. For more IV Drip, head to our website at theivydrip.co or follow us on Instagram at theivydrip_podcast. Email us your questions and comments at info@theivydrip.co or send us a DM. We love hearing from you. Most importantly, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. You can find it on all streaming platforms. So leave a review and spread the love.
Yes, thank you. And finally, Dr. Maka, we would like to end the show with our guests leaving a tip of the day for the audience. So please take it away for us.
Absolutely. So thank you all for having me on the show. This was a really important and great discussion that we're not having, you know, as often, especially with these medications and people don't understand the results that can happen with these medications and things. So that was awesome. The biggest tip I would say is, you know, really think about your goals. We kind of hit on this earlier and think about what's achievable for you. As you go through the process and you've lost weight, don't be too hard on yourself. I always say, you know, we all are hard on ourselves. Give your bodies and yourself grace through the process. And especially through the healing process. I always talk about trusting the process. Yeah. After you have surgery, you will swell. Things will look abnormal. But just know that when you put in a lot, you get in a lot out. So I wish you all luck on your journeys, for sure. But that's my biggest advice.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much. That was excellent.
Thank you.
All right. That's a wrap. See you all in the next episode.